All right, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Soon, Lord willing, I'm going to be starting a series on the life of Moses and walking through the Word of God as his life unfolds and develops, and highlighting just where he came from, what God did with him, through him, how God used him, how his life ended. And soon that'll be coming to pass. But I want to start just with using Moses, but just a different focus really with it this afternoon. And I want you to look with me in chapter 34, and we're going to read verses 28 down through the end of the chapter. At this one particular instance in Moses' life and the effect it had on other people as well. Verse 28 says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us with your word here again, and Father, even with our own relationship with you and how the presence of God in our own life not only affects us, but it affects other people. And Lord, to desire that kind of relationship with you, to desire the presence of God so much that there's a manifestation of the glory of God that shines through in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, to be committed to walking with you, and Father, to having a testimony of the goodness of God in our life. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your blessings to us, for your mercy, your grace, your kindness to us. And Lord, I pray that you would be pleased in how we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text here tells us that Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord. The effect of Moses being in the presence of God was that his face literally shone. It caused fear in the eyes of other people. Moses himself didn't even recognize it, demonstrating his humility, which we'll talk about some of that in a little bit. But it was clear that the presence of God affected Moses. And I think that a lot of times God's people desire the presence of the Lord. God's people would, in their heart and their mind, would desire this kind of a manifestation, that the life of God is evident in me, that I've been with the Lord, and so on. But most of the time, even though people desire that, we shrink from the soul discipline necessary to produce it. The time spent with the Lord, alone with God. There was a point in time in Moses' life where he prayed to God. He said, "Show me thy glory." No doubt that came from a heart inside of Moses that was sick of maybe the influence of Egypt, the influence of the world, hungering inside of him for a fuller revelation of the Lord on an individual level in his life. And the question that comes to mind is, have you ever desired that? Have I really desired that? A fuller, more complete revelation of God in my life. Like, I want to be close to the Lord, and I want to be so close to the Lord that His life is shining through me, that I can have the testimony of the evidence that I've been with God. Those who know best by experience the way of God and the things of God are often the ones who are most anxious to know more of God. And what I mean by that is, if you've had experience in your life where the Lord showed you something, where you have been walking with God, God did something in your life that only God can do, that was a miraculous thing to you, and He revealed it in such a way that you know it was the presence of the Lord. Those experiences in people are usually the ones who want to know even more of the presence of God. But there are carnal Christians who don't really get it, who've never experienced that kind of desire, a hungering for God on a personal level. And I guess the question is, not only have you ever desired that, but really, have you experienced that? That personal relationship with God, where God manifests Himself to you in a very personal way. I want to just look at a few things from, I won't be long this afternoon, but just highlight a few things out of this passage regarding how Moses' face shone, but it was really evidence of him being with God. Okay? You follow the line of thinking here? Look in verse 28. See the cause of the shining. Verse 28 says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." The cause of Moses' face shining and being illuminated was the fact that he had spent time with the Lord. 40 days and 40 nights alone with God. And who could spend 40 days of unbroken fellowship with God Himself without being transformed or affected in some way? I don't know that I'm saying it's not possible for us, even for God's people, to have real, true, unbroken fellowship with the Lord and spend alone time with God. It's going to affect our life. It's going to transform us in some way. That's really what this shining in Moses' face was. It was the likeness of God. It was the presence of God. It was the glory of God that was reflected in Moses. I have read that 30% of diamonds are able to emit light after being exposed to ultraviolet light. They absorb the light and they hold it, and when the light is removed, they glow and they can emit the light that they absorbed. And I thought about that as an illustration. You know, it's easy for us when we're in a spiritual environment to take on a spiritual aspect, a spiritual nature. It's easier for us, you know, when we're in a revival meeting, to be encouraged and to be challenged and to start to be fired up about the things of God and be convicted about the things of the Lord and have some excitement. And we emphasize it and we focus, and it's easy in that environment to be spiritual. When we're on a missions trip, you know, my eye affecteth my heart, and we're wrapped up in it, we're involved in it, and so on. I remember as a young boy, as a teenager, and then shortly after I was saved at 19 years old, I'd spend summers with my grandfather in Mexico. He's a missionary to Mexico. And after I was saved, I went back and I spent a summer with him, took many trips into Mexico, and I remember distinctly being overwhelmed with a desire to preach and teach God's Word. And it was always in this spiritual environment. And I remember being overwhelmed with a burden for people to be saved. And when you're there and you're in the middle of it, and it's all consuming, it's easy to have those kinds of burdens. But then when you're removed from the situation, You understand what I mean? It's not so easy anymore. One thing about those diamonds, 30% of those diamonds can emit light. But one thing about them is that the light begins to fade if there's not continued exposure. And the same is true in the Christian life. When we begin to remove ourselves, or we allow the world, or we allow the flesh, or whatever, to remove us from the exposure of the presence of God, when we stop walking with the Lord intently and on purpose, and that effect and that influence is not in our life to the same degree, guess what's going to happen? That light's going to start to fade. Question, by way of application, that I want to ask is, does the glory of God shine in your life as evidence that you've been in fellowship with the Lord? If there is glory without, if it's something that's radiating on the outside, it's the result of something, of some fullness within. What is already on the inside will always come out. That's true, both positive and negative. You with me here? If it's negative on the inside, that's going to have a way of manifesting itself and showing itself too. The cause or the reason why Moses' face shone was because he'd spent time alone, unbroken time alone with the Lord. But I want you to note, secondly, the place where the glory appeared. Verse 29 tells us, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them." His face was lit up. The light of God's countenance shone in the countenance of Moses. The face was what was lit up. The face was shining, which is really is an indication of the fact that the whole character of Moses was influenced by the presence of God. The face is often an index or a gauge of a man, of a person. The face often expresses the inner life and the inner disposition. You understand what I'm talking about? You know, someone walks through the doors of the church, and usually I can tell when a husband and wife have been fighting before they walk in the door. Usually you can tell when someone's discouraged. Usually you can tell on the face when someone's full of joy and they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. When someone's experiencing sadness, maybe confusion and bewilderment. I don't know what's happening in my life right now. I don't know what the Lord is doing. There's some confusion. Usually it's reflected on the face in some aspect, some way or form. And the point that I'm making is, do God's people, or does the world rather, see in your face the evidence that you are a believer and in relationship with the Lord, that you've been a partaker of the divine nature? It's not very hard, usually, to discern if a person has any kind of relationship with the Lord, really. This morning in the Sunday school hour, out of Matthew 5, it was talked about going the second mile and how that is an aspect of the Christian life in a devoted servant of the Lord, the heart attitude of one who's willing not only to go the first mile out of duty and obligation, but to go to the second mile out of opportunity, as a testimony, as a reflection of the love of God for people. But I'm going to tell you this, going the second mile won't happen, and people won't see that you even care if you haven't been in the presence of the Lord yourself in the first place. So His glory begins to shine through in your life and in your actions. And in mine, The place where the glory appeared was on his face, indicative of the fact that all of his character was influenced by the presence of God. There's something about it when we're walking with the Lord and experiencing a close relationship with the Lord, that there's something about the joy of the Lord that is within that has a way of working itself out on the outside. And people look at saints of God who've been worshiping, who's been walking with the Lord, and they shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And people look at them like, "Oh, you're weird." That's a sad thing. We ought to be joyful in the fact that there's a brother or a sister who's full of the joy of the Lord themselves because of their own relationship with God. And the thing about that is, when we've been in the presence of the Lord, like Moses was, that has an effect, not only in our life, but in the lives of other people. Note what the text says here in verses 29 and 30. We saw in verse 29 how he came down from the mount, his face was shining. Verse 30 says, "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Here, Moses being in the presence of God, and that effect on his life became evident. That had an effect. God's glory had an effect on other people. Verse 30 says that they were afraid to come near him. But you know what? That is often true. When the holiness of God is evident in a person's life, it has a way of rebuking the ungodly. They don't like hanging around. They don't like being around that because it shines a light and exposes them. A Christ-like look, a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-like word has often made people blush. I remember as a teenager, unsaved, of course, probably have told you this before, I remember just hating to be around Brother Scott Kuzel. He always had the joy of the Lord, it seemed. He always had something spiritual to say. Always was spiritually minded himself. That was totally the opposite of me. And I always remember feeling under conviction and feeling guilty and not wanting to be around him. It wasn't his fault. Or people who don't really want to be around the pastor because I feel uncomfortable, etc., etc. In my case, I was under conviction. That's why I didn't want to be around him. But you know what? The effect of God and the effect of holiness and God's glory has that effect on the sinner. But it didn't only have an effect on the people, it also had an effect on himself, because verse 29 tells us that Moses didn't even know that the skin of his face was shining. He didn't even know. He was unconscious of it. And I look at that and I think, man, that's a great example of true humility. One who's been in the presence of the Lord, he didn't think of himself as something special. Because I've had this privilege of being in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. There wasn't any spiritual pride or putting on a spiritual face with Moses to keep up some sort of an appearance. The Bible tells us that Moses was very meek, and it was God who made him mighty. But you know what? The person that is walking with the Lord and in the Spirit of God is going to have the influence of God shining in his or her life. And you know what? They're going to be the ones who are joyful in walking with the Lord. They're going to be the ones who are full of joy that they get to have a relationship with God. And they're also going to have an unconscious effect on other people just by their life. You can't create that kind of an effect or influence in the flesh. In the secret, place. In the secret of God's presence alone is where that power is found. But the evidence of being with the Lord, God will make it known. The evidence of being with the Lord first begins in the heart. And I would ask the question, do you want to serve God? I would say that every believer here would say, at least to give assent to and acknowledge, well, yeah, I want to serve God. Why are you here if you don't? We would say, I want to serve God. Well, what is serving the Lord? Well, that can manifest itself in many ways, but serving others is definitely one way of serving the Lord. And we would all say, yes, that's true. Serving others is a way of serving the Lord. But may I say to you this afternoon, we influence others best when we work on our own heart and our own relationship with God first. God's presence will manifest itself in our life, and it will have an effect on other people when we have simply concentrated on simply being alone with God, my own relationship with the Lord. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll read it to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul giving instruction here of what's really important. And he said to Timothy, he said, meditate upon these things. What things? Well, in verse 12, he said, or in verse 11, he says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Timothy, meditating on God's word, doctrine, giving attendance to reading, the will of God in his life, giving himself wholly to those things, would profit him, but it would also appear to others. The effect of God working in my own life is that it not only influences me, but it has an impact on other people as well. And we influence others best when we've been walking with the Lord ourselves first. Back in Exodus 34, in verse 33, we find here that this glory of God that was shining on Moses was something that had to be veiled before the people. Verse 33 says that till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Verse 35 says, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. The glory of God was veiled before the people. The people couldn't even handle Moses' countenance. They couldn't take it. They couldn't handle it. But it was really God's glory that they couldn't handle, not Moses. Moses wasn't something special. He was just surrendered to the Lord himself. He desired a greater manifestation of the Lord for himself. But there were some people who couldn't handle it. And those who walk in the light of the face of God, in the presence of God, have a relationship with God, they will often have experiences of the deeper things of God that are veiled from the weak eyes of carnal believers. Remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He said, I wanted to speak unto you as spiritual, but I couldn't because you're carnal and you weren't able to bear it, and neither now are ye able to bear it. Go, let's just, I don't want to do injustice to it. So look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Paul said, I wanted to write to you, and I wanted to speak unto you as unto spiritual, maybe the deeper things of God, maybe the deeper truths of God. But I can't, because you're carnal, you're even babies in Christ, you haven't been able to bear it up to this point, and you're still not able to bear it because you're immature spiritually. And what I'm saying is that sometimes this is the case where saved people, Christian people, they just don't get it. The deeper things of God, or the joy that someone has in walking with the Lord, and it's evidenced in their life, and their spiritual focus is just laser. And it oftentimes brings conviction to other people, or they just don't understand it. And their reaction is, "Oh, well, you just think you're better than us. Well, you're a holier than thou, or a goody two-shoes," kind of an attitude. Usually that's just a reflection of their own spiritual condition coming out. There are truths and there are experiences that God wants to give that can only be revealed to those who are able to bear it, those who are really walking with the Lord. And you know what? That's a blessing, actually. Having times when you experience the fullness of God alone, things that you just can't really put words into, but you understand it in a particular way because God revealed it to you. I've had times like that, just experiencing the grace of God in a particular moment that I have never understood before. And there's no way that I could understand it before unless I was in that situation where God in His grace just gave it in abundance, in a special way, a revelation of Himself in a way that I'd never understood before. Or times just sitting in my office studying where a truth of God, maybe even one that I know or one that I am familiar with, just comes to light in another way, and it produces something inside that just has to clap my hands or praise and say, "Thank God, praise the Lord." Because God did that with His Spirit. Have you experienced moments like that? Deeper things of God? Because the Spirit of God revealed it to you? You couldn't necessarily explain it all or put words into it all, but you know it and you understand it because God did that. All I'm saying is that God wants to take us to different levels in our spiritual life. He wants to reveal Himself fuller, manifest Himself in a more special way in your life. But it's only for those who can handle it, who can bear it, the ones who are pursuing after God. We say we want to serve the Lord. We say we want to have revival. We say that we want God to show Himself in our life. Well, then let me encourage you to work on having unbroken fellowship with the Lord in your own life. Allow Him to change your countenance, if you will, so that He shines in you. That's how we have revival. That's how we influence other people. That's how other people are provoked unto love and to good works, like Hebrews chapter 10 teaches us. Seeing what God is doing in you and how you are profiting by His presence personally has an impact and an influence on other people. But I think that we run from the dedication and the commitment that it takes to have this kind of effect in our life because when we get right down to it, we don't really want to give it all up to the Lord. Fun, ambitions, pursuits, those things start to crowd and dominate the life when we really ought to be pursuing after God. Let pursuing after God be our number one priority. Unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Lord, I want to be in your presence. Lord, I want to walk with you. When that happens, and God begins to change us on the inside, all those other things start to take a dim view. The things of earth grow more and more dim in our view. The glory of God, the presence of God, becomes brighter and stronger. What do you desire? What are you pursuing after? How are you doing since our revival with the things that the Lord has worked in your heart in? Let's not let it slip, amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your gentleness towards us, your long-suffering, your patience. How you work in our life and you reveal things, and maybe we have good intentions. And then the light begins to fade if there's not continual exposure. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to put ourselves in a place where we're continually exposed to your word, to your presence, where we're pursuing after God more than anything else in our life. And the presence of God, the time spent with the Lord, the profit that we gain from it can't help but overflow. And it begins to impact other people's lives. And Lord, I want to have an impact in other people's lives, but most of all, I want you to be magnified. I want you to be glorified in their life. I want you to be exalted and lifted up. Lord, I know that that will come as I pursue after you myself and work on my own relationship and my own walk with you, time spent with you. Lord, I pray that you would create in us that desire to draw nigh unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.